I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Hashtag woo pig suey. Fucking hogs. fucking goddamn hogs.
If you hear that laugh, we're actually joined by a special guest this week. If you don't know him, you've been hiding under a rock, but we've got Shane Irving on the pod. Shane's got like a million followers on Twitter. He's got his own website. If you don't know him from being some of the Dan Patrick Show calls, just Google Shane Irving, Will Ferrell. It'll be some of the best 3 minutes of your life. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
We have people who call in, and there's one guy who calls in, Shane Irving.
Right.
You familiar with Shane Irving?
Apparently, there is a theory out there that Shane Irving is actually voiced by the actor Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Can't get that Lone Star up there in Chicago, can you?
No, dude, they try to charge you $4 for a Lone Star because the hipsters thought it was fucking hip. It's bullshit. I all damn near get into a fight every time. They're like, you want a bucket of beer, man? It'd be $30. I'm like, you better watch your fucking mouth.
Tall boy, Lone Star.
This is a warning right now. If you're going to be listening to your kids in the car, now's the time to earmuff. This will be an awesome podcast.
Well, I was just talking about how I was at a Packers tailgate. Romo comes back in a sling, and everybody at the Packers tailgate's yelling, "Go Pack, go! Go Pack, go!" Everybody was real happy up in Green Bay. Tell me, what do you think, Shay?
Fucking Scotty bitches. That ain't right. That shit ain't right. I remember I went to Lambeau once, and I tried to get into a fight, and these fucking Midwestern losers wouldn't even do it.
Mm-mm.
They wouldn't do it. They wanted to hug it out after the game. Cowboys beat the fucking tar out of the Packers that year.
You know, the Cowboys are playing up there in a couple months, but you know what's funny is the Seahawks fans, all fucking gone. They didn't even stay to the end of the game. Like the second the second it was done, it was exit stage left. All of them and their throwback Largent 1986 jerseys, exit stage left. They were gone.
Gross.
I'll kick it off with the opener. So the opener, I was actually doing this from a tailgate in Lambeau on Sunday. BetOnline came out with 3, and I freaked the fuck out because I have a power rating of Virginia -4. When I saw Virginia +3, I thought that's ridiculous, you know, because Boise State's lost their quarterback. The Wahoos, they play to the level of their competition. Now, I know that they had 2 interceptions against William & Mary, and they only beat William & Mary by 6, but they play to the level of their competition, which is why they're beating Notre Dame the entire goddamn game, and then they lose the last second heart. So if they play well, if Matt Johns comes out, throws the ball around, extends the defense a little bit, they're going to have no problems in this game with Boise State, who's missing their quarterback. I mean, this is a great spot for Virginia.
I just don't get how the fuck Boise is going to move the ball. I don't fucking get it. I got it at +2.5 because I was in Vegas and very under the influence. I just don't understand. The Wahoos are my favorite defense in NCAA football by far. They're one of my favorite teams. I love fucking watching them. They have an awful, awful head coach, which is why they play down in the competition. CW is 100% right there. Mm-hmm. But the athletes they have on their team, when those kids get down, they get fucking dirty. They love to play UCLA covered week one against them. If we want to be fucking perfectly clear, Rosen had to have a perfect fucking game just to barely cover my point.
It wasn't capped badly. I listened to the pod with you and Cheetah. It wasn't. Listen, they won by 18 and the spread was 17.5. Virginia was the right side.
Yeah. I've been on Wahoo since last year, same the rest of y'all. It's just the defense is just too damn dirty.
Absolutely, and we're going back to where we were 2 weeks ago. We said the same shit last 2 weeks ago. No, yep. We said they're going to cover against Notre Dame.
And oh, I was on it too. I was like, this is fucking retarded.
Yeah. And they're going to make Virginia a dog again. And here we go. Mm-hmm. Boise's traveling cross country. They've lost their quarterback. They're going to split the duties between Stewart, the mobile quarterback, and Riffin, the son of the former pro. Right? So all the things I'm coming, yeah, they struggle against William and Mary, but fuck, they're off playing Notre Dame. They weren't up for that game.
Let down, awful spot, right?
Absolutely. Well, let's bring back the staff we talked about 2 weeks ago, dust those stickers off. Last seven times, Virginia was getting it points at home, they covered six of them. The last five times they played ranked teams, they covered all five. I know Boise dropped out of the rankings, but this defense is salty. Don't do just enough to hang around. I think they'll win this game.
Yep, 100%. I think Moneyline's a smart play here, honestly.
Love it. If you're making dirty parlays on Saturday, make sure and get these guys. Yep. Make sure and get Whoville in there.
Yeah, Southern Miss, right?
All right, Colin, we're gonna hit another game. I know you and I are both on, but we both like the Beavers. The Beavers tomorrow night, Stanford at Oregon State.
Yeah, so it opened up 16.5, which, hey, going back to the quarterback, I'm fading Stanford, coming off a big emotional win against USC. We don't even know if Hogan's going to play. It's really about fading Stanford because I don't know if their quarterback's playing. They're coming off of a big win against USC. They got Arizona on deck. And plus, I made the game personally, Stanford minus 12, so I saw an extra 4.5 points. I took it. Going to Corvallis is no easy trip for anybody. Nobody wants to be there. I've been there. Nobody wants to be there.
It's a tough trip. That's true. But, yeah, I got no opinion on that game, but I fucking hate David Shaw with every fiber of my being, so fuck him.
He is. We've talked about him on this podcast forever, and he is one of the worst play callers ever. Stanford thrives as an underdog. They suck as a favorite. And Colin hit it on the nose. Hogan's on crutches. He may not play. I'm sure he will. But this is a tough spot after a big win against USC. You got to travel up.
True.
You're laying nearly 17 points. Here's your stat of the weekend, guys. Oregon State, their defense, they're second nationally in third down defense. Okay, maybe they haven't gotten a third down much. Maybe teams are moving the ball on them so much they've been all first and second. They're 17th nationally in total defense. That is the position there. Their offense is goddamn awful.
Right. Okay.
And I will say this. Hogan, I watch a lot of Stanford football being from the Bay. Hogan played the best game of his career last weekend. He's not as bad as Northwestern, but he's not as good as USC either. So I'll tell you, banged up leg, laying 17, on the road. I just don't love the spot for Stanford. And I'll tell you what, since Hogan's been the quarterback, the nine times they've laid points on the road in the last two-plus years, to include Northwestern this year, they're 2-6-1. They don't do well as a favorite. I like Oregon State to somehow hang around with that nasty, disgusting offense to get a cover.
Awesome.
Hey, Cole, where are we going on Saturday? Take me somewhere.
All right, we're going Saturday. We're going to the Mormons in Michigan. I'm not on this. The spread opened up, I think, 5. I think it tinkered down to around 3.5, 4. Right now we're sitting at, I know, I'm not. I was just going to prep it up for you two. 59% is sitting of the tickets are sitting on BYU. Spread is, I mean, steamed up today. 6.5, couple sevens, 6 on Sportsbook. It's really moved up today with 59% of the money on the Mormons.
I took this fucker at 5. Once again, I was heavily under several substances on Sunday and I missed the opener. But there's no goddamn way these fucking Mormons are going to have a horseshoe up their ass again. I think we saw what the fuck they're capable of for the first 3 weeks, but it ain't going to fucking happen against Jim Harbaugh's fucking defense. It ain't happening. It ain't fucking happening again. Not only that, but Jesus, if you read the book of Revelation, condemns those who add to the book of the Bible. That is the Mormons. Have fun in hell, motherfuckers.
Oh, Shane, right on it. I mean, you've been at Nebraska, home against Boise, at UCLA. They hung in with UCLA, who was the darling of football for the first 2 weeks. This is when the fucking comes out of his fails. No chance. They have much left. Out-coached, out-talented, on the road, early start. I laid the 4.5. Michigan wins by 7+.
Yeah, and don't forget, that's an early start. That's 11 a.m. Central. I can't tell. Yep. I don't know if Ann Arbor's Eastern. I can never fucking keep up in Michigan, but, you know, it's early for BYU.
It's Eastern. But here's my issue with okay, so BYU against UCLA. At UCLA, right?
Yep.
Home road splits for UCLA. Look at under Mora. Just under Mora. They're fucking laughable. For some reason, they hate playing in L.A., especially when they're a fucking favorite. They lay the fucking egg constantly. It's just the way it is. It's just the way Mora coaches. I don't know what's the environment he preaches. I don't know what the fuck it is. But the home road splits are awful. So I would be more impressed if BYU was at home against UCLA and had something to do with that. I never, ever, ever count a team that goes to UCLA and beats them well or that plays well against the Bruins, because Mora home road splits, if you can Google that shit, it's fucking embarrassing what he does for the alumni there.
Right.
So I'm taking on the road, the fucking Mormons on the road in Ann Arbor? Fuck out of here, man.
Before we have any Mormon hate, we should move on to how both Chris, you and I are jealous that Chris got...
I can't hate from Satan's chamber.
yeah, I mean, I want to be a god of my own planet, so let's move to Bowling Green. Shea got Bowling Green at -2.5. That damn thing is up to 5.5? I mean, it opened up Bowling Green plus 2.
It hit 5.5 today.
Yeah, I'm it is at 5.5 across the board.
Good fucking team. I mean, I don't know how
they are good. What, are y'all
well, I mean, you guys should. Now hold on, guys. Bowling Green can score points with anybody in the country. They can't play defense with everybody in the country. But Purdue.
Well, no, well, I mean, well, let's be.
But this is Purdue.
Be aggressive. They're gonna have to shit all over Bowling Green, man. These are like 2-star athletes showing up and like putting 68 up on fucking Maryland and shit, man. This is a well-coached team. It's a well-oiled machine. No, the defense is awful.
So I'll say this to our listeners out there. Right now, the spread is sitting at 5.5. From everything that I can see, the spread's going to come down to 5, and it's going to sit on 5 until a round kick before it might steam out again.
Is it 7.5?
It's at 5.5 right now, and I'm seeing that it's going to fall back down to 5 across the board. 81% of the tickets coming in on Bowling Green. Shea got a great number at -2.5. Again, if you're into teasing things down to, you know, big favorites that are 6 or 7 or 5.5 down to 0, this was probably a good piece because Purdue is the dog shit of all dog shit in FBS football.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
I'm taking a little high.
Yeah.
I'm taking us to one of the teams we love to fade, Colin, and this is dirty. I would just plug your ears to this whole conversation, Shay. Army at Eastern Michigan.
Mm.
Ugh, fuck me.
We know we love fading Army on the road, Colin. You want to kick it off?
Yeah, so Army was going in with a 1-19 against a spread trend on the road. Then they had some sort of crazy fucking turnover against UConn. And by the way, that 1 was UConn last year, and now 2-19 against a spread on the road. That's UConn again. Well,
that
not...
1 was a neutral site too. That 1 was a neutral site. True road.
Right.
True road.
So let's just say this. Let me just put this on the table. Army is 0-19 against the spread on the road against anybody not named fucking UConn. All right. Let's just say that. Eastern Michigan, people have not picked up on EMU. EMU actually finally has a team. They're not the worst team in the MAC. You know, they got their quarterback, Roback. You know, the defense will open up. As long as he pounds a rock, he's going to be able to throw the ball. We caught them at +2 on the opener. I said, that's your Army is favored on the road. You got to get the fuck out of here. It went all the way up to 2.5. We had some buyback down to -2 today. Army +2 would be EMU -2. So it's cross 0. You're not going to be able to get what Chris and I got on open, which is Eastern Michigan +2. But at the same time, if you just want to lay a money line bet, Army's not winning this game on the road. And I think Eastern Michigan is one of these teams that the nation just hasn't caught on to yet because they haven't seen them yet. It's kind of like when you see Western Michigan cover against Michigan State. It's like, oh, shit, Western Michigan. I got to remember them next week. I'm telling you, Eastern Michigan is better than everybody thinks.
Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, I mean, I think this Army
is
fucking awful on the road. I mean, we've talked about this week forever. And that's the point. Both 400 yards of offense. The problem is Army's defense is just, or sorry, both these defenses get over 400 yards. Army's offense is god-awful. They're 124 out of 128. I mean, the quarterback, he runs that option deal, you know, but they don't have much talent outside of the quarterback. It is brutal. Well, Eastern Michigan's over 400 yards of offense. They've actually shown some competency this year. They went into Wyoming and won, which is like their first FBS win on the road in like forever since Moses was around. So this is a much better. The fact they were catching points is absolutely brutal. Eastern Michigan wins this game. It's only swung to a small favor, and if you can get under three, I think it's still a good play. For all the reasons we've stated, I won't dwell on it, but Eastern Michigan wins this game. Should beat the Army. I imagine you have no opinion on this game, Shay.
No, except the fact that fucking Army's piece of shit fucking goddamn Wake Forest game last week lost by half a fucking point.
I once had a girlfriend from Yes Planning, man. She was nuts, too. She was fucking crazy, man. All right, what game is that?
Wait, how do you even say that?
I know it starts with a Y and a S and a P. Yes, please.
Y and a P and an F. Ypsilanti is fucking Michigan. It's awful state.
All right. Colin, on the morning slate, I want to touch Southern Miss. No one else is on it. This is my biggest play of the year so far. I love
what
this week. Yes,
it is.
Yes, my biggest play of the year so far.
Oh, shit.
Is Southern Miss catching 24 against Nebraska?
All right, so let me give you the stats right now on Thursday night. Nebraska is getting 56% of the tickets. They're on 84% of all the parlay cards that are being played offshore right now. Opened up at 24. You caught USM plus 24. It is down to 21.5 across the board. Some of our square shops like Bovada and Sportsbook are hanging at 22. But you got 56% of the tickets on corn right now.
I've seen enough, and it's sad that I can even say this, but I've seen enough of Southern Miss. They're just a better team this year. I mean, they hung right in with Mississippi State at home. We're right there until Mississippi State pulled away with a late touchdown. Had a nice win against Texas State last week, 56-50. A lot of offense. Offense plus better. Defense is still an issue. And you're catching Nebraska in a great spot. Nebraska, monster sandwich spot. Miami last week. They open Big Ten play next week. And think about what they're coming off of. They had that heroic comeback last week. The fuck, everybody's 3.5 up. They come all the way back, only to pull it in overtime. And they have Illinois on deck to open conference play. How are they getting up for 24 against Southern Miss? And 24 is an absurd number. That number should have been way under 20. I think that number was 7.2. Southern Miss is a halfway confident offense this year. They're going to hang around much more than people think. I like Southern Miss a lot this weekend, enough to put out my biggest bet of the year. I think they, at over 500 yards a game, much better team this year. Watch out for Southern Miss this weekend. Still absolutely playable at anything over 21.
I like that. Just for save for the fact that South Bama was what a 17-point dog to Nebraska.
Yep.
Yeah, South Bama ain't fucking putting up no 500 goddamn yards. That's for damn sure.
No way. Absolutely not.
So
wow. I got over.
Well, let's wrap up the morning slate. If we're going chronological, we'll just wrap up the morning slate. I'll make two notes for everybody. Kansas and Rutgers is playing, and everybody on Twitter is going to be making fun of this fucking game, and they should be. For some reason, Rutgers has steamed up to a minus 14. I got one trend for you. Kansas is 0-7 against the spread off of a bye week since 2009. Now, a lot of that is Charlie Weiss. I don't know if he ate the bye week or what, but I'm just saying KU has not won against the spread since 2009. So look for that. Look for the score. Don't actually watch the game. The big one in the morning that I'm going to be watching is Georgia Tech and Duke. I'm big on Duke. I was big on Duke like 2 days ago. I was tweeting it out. And then I think some of our ESPN guys like Chris Falica, the Bear, they all jumped on Duke today. But listen, Duke upset Georgia Tech last year. Georgia Tech was having this amazing year. Duke, David Cutcliffe is one of the best coaches, X's and O's, and getting into his players' heads. I mean, he's the Manny. I don't want to get into Eli and Peyton shit, but he is a great players' coach. He's a great X's and O's coach, and he put it together and took Paul Johnson to the woodshed last year. He drew the schematic for how to beat Georgia Tech, which Notre Dame used last week. So I took Duke plus 7.5. They know how to shut down the triple option. Duke has been much better than expected. Thomas Cirk, I watched that whole fucking Tulane game the first week of the season. He's doing great as the first-year quarterback for Cutcliffe, and Georgia Tech is on back-to-back road trips, going into this game. So I took Duke plus 7.5. I suggest everybody do the same.
Hey, the best part, Colin, about that Duke-Tulane game, we murdered the first weekend. Shake, this is an awesome shout-out on the podcast. And Tulane looks like they're partially handicapped on the field.
That's true.
You know what's sad is I think we had 24 plays in week one, and I think between us, I had some guy tweet me. He's like, all three of you guys together went 37 plus units. I was like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, but you lost Tulane. I was like, fuck. You know, we could not live.
We hyped up the most. Yeah.
We couldn't live the Tulane loss down, man. That
was the one. That was the one. The green fucking way. But I mean, Duke does have one of the best underdog coaches.
Yeah.
In the last fucking 5 years, by far. I mean, he gets them up. He gets them up when he needs to get them up. I'll give you that.
This team just played, and their defense, the rebound again. I mean, their defense, man, Cutcliffe, the defense, they hang around. I totally see the play. I haven't played a call, but I get where you're going there.
So last note before we leave the morning slate, there is not a line posted in any book, whether it's Vegas or offshore. There's no line posted on Southern and Georgia. I'll take any number I can find on Southern when Georgia has Alabama on deck next week.
I'm not getting involved in shit.
Me either, but you ain't dumb.
All right, let's move on. Hey,
I feel you on that.
All right, so let me set you guys up because I don't know how.
The one thing I will say is I know both Hayden and I are on Syracuse plus 23 on the opener. It's clipped to 24.5 with the 7th-string quarterback coming in for Syracuse. But my God, if there's ever an opportunity for Syracuse to cover this game, they've got a great run defense. They can't stop the pass for all hell. Maybe they can slow down Fournette. Maybe LSU pulls the dogs off early. I had to take the spot as a home plus 23. I'm a little nervous now because I thought that Dungy might still play, but obviously now they're 19th-string quarterback. So I wouldn't advise anybody else to play it, but I'm going to sit on that bet. We'll see what happens.
10,000 Tigers are apparently traveling to Syracuse for this guy. Shit.
Have they been? There's only 8 gates in that goddamn. There's only 8. Listen, let me tell you about the Syracuse airport. First off, there's only 8 fucking gates. Second off, they don't even have the technology to scan a 2D barcode if you happen to get your ticket in your goddamn phone.
Holy shit.
Third off, when you exit the airport, Tiger fans, you have to go into a pod that does a full circle around you. It scans your body when you leave. When you're leaving.
What?
Syracuse.
Why?
In the Syracuse airport, guys, just trust me.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the LSU fans. You're going to be bitching and moaning and setting shit on fire up there. Yeah.
3/4 of them ain't never been on an airplane before. They'll be fucking motoring up anyway.
What is LSU doing outside of SEC territory? Let me set you guys up. I don't know how you two got onto this, but New Mexico is currently sitting at -3.5. They are going on the road to Wyoming. Wyoming's dog shit.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Both of you have -2.5, -3.
Well, 2.5, okay. 3. All about those Lobos. Who doesn't love a good Lobo on the road?
I'm gonna crack a beer. You guys talk about it. I'm gonna crack a beer.
I don't know how the fuck it ain't been to 6 yet. Honestly, I might hit this for a second unit like I did with TCU. But okay, the Lobos got 2 fucking quarterbacks. They're sharing reps. Apodaca and fucking Lamar Jordan. Jordan's a better option quarterback. Apodaca can throw the fucking ball. But here's the key. They run. That's what they fucking do.
Yes,
they got fast, skinny lines. Fast and skinny. That's the fucking key. Wyoming's D-line, they got a pop roast motherfucker right in the middle. And they got the OK D-line. But they
So I'll just ask you a question because it's just crazy seeing New Mexico the favorite. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time New Mexico, if you don't count New Mexico State, laid points on the road? Laid points on the road. What year did New Mexico last lay points on the road?
Oof. I don't know.
It's 2009. 6 years
ago. Wow.
Was it New Mexico State? Who was it? You know?
No, New Mexico, I said, let's exclude New Mexico State. They laid that point to them in 2014. I don't remember who it was. I looked it up today, but
it's
been a long time. Shea hit it on the nose. I'll tell you how good they are, Shea. They're 15th in the nation in rushing. They average 249 a game. They put up 200 against Arizona State, a Pac-12 team. Wyoming 81st in the nation. Shea nailed it. Offensive line versus defensive line. They will shove it down their throat. I know it's a different game being on the road, but Wyoming is god-awful. Craig Bull should have stayed at North Dakota State, baby. New Mexico house decision.
Amen.
So I'm making a fat sandwich, and I'm going to transition into UMass going into Notre Dame, who's on a fat fucking sandwich right now. I'm going to tell you right now, that spread of UMass 28.5 is a joke. It's still there. It got up 29, came back 28.5. It's a big fucking joke. Anybody that's a friend of the podcast, a friend of CCH, knows that I was in Vegas in June smacking UMass. I love UMass in every single way. They finally showed up, and they covered against everybody's new love, you know, against Temple last week. Listen, Fraunapple, he is the man. They played all four quarters. They covered against a great Temple team. And Notre Dame, who just gets off this amazing backup quarterback win with Georgia Tech, has Clemson on deck, which has got to be, I think, their biggest probably for the rest of the season. This is the biggest game for them for the year. So this is a massive sandwich spot. I power rated it at 24, so it's not really the reason why I hit UMass. I hit UMass because they're led by a huge number of seniors. The number one, I think, number of returning starters. The Colorado score, the reason why people don't like UMass and really haven't paid that much attention, they pulled everybody in the middle of the third quarter, and they just gave the fuck up. They were like, you know, they send in the second team, send in the third team. We don't care about the score because there's bigger fish to fry in the mat. I'm telling you, UMass right now will cover the 28.5. It's still available. Go get it.
It's gone up.
All right.
They need to get on this. All the reasons Colin talked about, it's a monster sandwich spot. You've got Clemson on the other side of it. Brian Kelly has lost so many players. When this game gets in control, if it gets in control early, there will be guys sitting. Colin Tucker, let me give you the numbers about how this team performs in these situations. Laying double digits at home, they're 2-7 against the spread under Brian Kelly. Last year, in similar situations, when they were sandwiched between ranked teams, they played UNC between Florida State and Stanford as a 16-point favorite. They won by 6. They lost their continuity between Florida State and Arizona State. Two top 11 teams. Laying 14, they won by 11. All three times in Brian Kelly's history that they've laid 20-plus points, they have not covered, and they've actually missed covering by 39 points. Notre Dame will get up early, and they will pull off the gas. And I'll tell you what, UMass is the worst rushing offense in the entire nation in terms of rushes and average to rush. But Fraunhafel throw the ball. If they're not inside the number the whole game, they'll get there at the end when Notre Dame is not playing anybody because they can't afford to lose anybody else. UMass plus that big four touchdowns gets there tomorrow or Saturday.
And I want to say one more thing, and I'm going to say it lightly. UMass Notre Dame was one of the first plays on the board that was available money line. Now, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm not suggesting anything.
I have
been drinking for this podcast, but I am going to be making a couple of dirty parlays round robin tomorrow, and I'm telling you right now.
If you want to put a round robin dirty parlay, just slide Southern Miss in there.
Totally. Southern Miss over UMass.
Slide that little sucker in there.
Absolutely.
All right, so I want to wrap up with the early afternoon. I just want to make a note that my App State Fighting Yosefs that I love so much, they opened up -7. They're up to 8 today. The reason is because not only because I love App State and they are off a bye, they're facing an Old Dominion team that's just, they're fucking terrible. Trends, Old Dominion is 1-7 against the spread as a home team since joining FBS. They're also on an 0-6 against the spread run after a straight-up loss. They lost to NC State last week. I have this power rated as the Yosefs winning by 3. I don't care that it's 7. I don't care that it's 7.5. I don't care that it's 8. App State, they gave up in that Clemson game 2 weeks ago. They should be pissed off, and they should run all over.
Cohen, and I love that. I love that. I love we love Yosef. But now the next game is now going to become the most important game of the college podcast because this will get Shay's emotion going. And yeah. I know the Eagles have a playoff.
How about I talk
no,
about
where we're going, Shay?
All right, I took. Oh, yeah. All right, give him hell. Give him hell.
Make them eat shit,
buddy. I learned that in 2003 when I went and saw Arkansas beat Texas down in Old Memorial.
Okay,
so
I took
Texas +3, and I was ballsy enough to be recorded to say I'm taking Texas money line on this. I have Texas.
I want to hear the analysis on this shit. Let's go.
I have nothing more than I trust my numbers completely. I stand by them every week. I have Texas -6 power rated in this game. And I love the Herd. I love Jared Herd. I love this guy. I'm not sure they can play any goddamn defense. I love Herd. I love Norvell took over play calling duties 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was a learning curve because it's been 10 years since he called a play. But now we got Herd in there, and now we've got 2 weeks of play calling under the belt for Norvell. And my power ratings say Texas is going to win this game flat out. I have no issues taking the Longhorns here.
Coordinator settlement and Hurd settlement. I mean, he was not great against Rice. I'll give you this. The Cal defense is not great. They were awful last year. I'd say maybe they're slightly below average this year. They've improved. But what he did last weekend was just sickening. 300+ passing, 160 running. This offense is in the right direction. And I don't love this Florida State team. They didn't look great against Central Michigan. They had to get a late touchdown to beat Central Michigan at home. UTSA just gave him 6 turnovers in Roscoe Bluff last weekend. I think this offense is on the uptick. I agree. The defense is problematic and systematic. I think there's issues. I like Texas at home to cover and win because of Herd. Shay, I'm going to let you rant for 3 minutes. I'm just going to drink vodka while you do it.
Yep.
Motherfucker. Okay, here's the guy. I was watching the goddamn Texas Cal game in Vegas with several Longhorn fans. And I'm surprised we didn't get kicked out of there after that Nick Rose punked fucking hipster ass missed the PAT. But I will say this, Vance Bedford does have a mind for defense. He'll mix in that 3-3-5 in the middle of a fucking series, and nobody's expecting it. And against a 3-3-5, against that air raid / spread / whatever the fuck you want to call it, up-tempo offense, with 2 weeks in a row, that kind of offense, and there's no fucking way that Oklahoma State's offense is more efficient or more dangerous than Cal. They're just saying they ain't got an NFL quarterback in Oklahoma State. They ain't got
no way. They're not even close.
No, nowhere near it. But here's my fucking issue, and I think you might want to look into this. The second half, if you look at the second half defense, second half offense for Texas since Charlie Strong came around, there's kind of been a lack of adjustment. Especially by Vance Bedford.
Well, that sounds like Bielema.
As far as defensive coach. They don't have a whole lot of depth from the D-line. That's good. And they do not have. The D-line was supposed to be a goddamn good thing this year, but it ain't. But the defensive backs, the depth there, it ain't around. And that's a fear of mine, especially for gamblers who are trying to take that +3, because that second half could get goofy, and it could get goofy fast. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 6 freshmen, 6 starting for the University of Texas.
Yep.
2 of them on the O-line, 2 of them in the defensive backfield, and the other are fucking spattered throughout the goddamn old game. Yeah, I'm worried, I'm scared, but I'm a fan, so I can't bet on it, but I understand the logic. It's just a fearful game for me.
Let me add something in today, too. I mean, I like Charlie Strong. I don't know how you feel about Charlie Strong personally, but
I love him.
Dating back to Louisville, after a loss, 8-2 against the spread. He's a motivator. 8-2 against the spread.
Yep.
I like the spot for him. Like the spot for him.
No, these kids will walk through a fucking wall for him. That's the thing. But the problem is he doesn't have enough of the kids that he recruited yet. You know, he's got some holdovers to Zach Brown's tenure who may or may not have gotten into Charlie Strong.
is a theory out there that Shay in Irving is actually voiced by the actor Will Ferrell.
Yes. That's fair. It's going to be a hell of a game. I'm looking forward to it. I hope the boys pull it out.
I mean, they have to win. If you think about it, Texas really has to, because they didn't beat Cal, they really have to beat Oklahoma State if they have an idea or a wish for a bowl game.
Right.
So there's a whole lot right on this game. This might as well be a fucking bowl game for them. And I think, you know, the logic is there in what you're saying.
And it's like I said, preseason, I was all over Oklahoma State winning the because they have the most perfect ending 5 and 6 weeks of the entire Big 12. Because I think they travel to Iowa State, yet they get OU and they get all the big boys coming to their house. So, I mean, the Pokes, for them, this is a big, big fucking game, because if they can get over this hump down there in Austin, then they're kind of set up. The table is set up for them, but... You know, from what I'm seeing, it's just you got to know when to buy out of a team, and you got to know when to buy into a team. And frankly, it's time. I think it's the week I buy into Texas. It's not the week I'm buying into Arkansas, though.
I've downgraded the fuck out of Okie State since preseason.
Oh yeah,
they fucking sank in my power rankings like a motherfucker.
I agree.
So, I mean, I see where y'all are coming from. I just, I'm fucking petrified.
Well, hook 'em horn. Calling
out
this weekend, and we hope we get it done.
Amen.
Hey, Colin, I'm going to take you to lead you on the real Bama, because you've got a great trend that's worth calling out. I want to make sure we hear about that trend in this game. You played the under in this game, under 55.
I did. I played under 55, and most of it was because Bama is on a massive sandwich spot like Notre Dame this week. They just got done losing to Ole Miss, and they've got Georgia next week. So... they got little old small ULM who likes to put their fucking billboards up in Monroe and remind everybody across the state of Louisiana that they beat Alabama like a decade ago. But ULM, they beat Arkansas too, so I can't say anything. ULM is 13-2-1. 13-2-1 to the under after a bye week. They are coming off of a bye, and Bama is facing UGA next week. Now, here's my issue with that. That number is sitting at 55. It opened 55. I whacked it for $200. It's still sitting at 55. There's been nothing. Not at Pinnacle, not in Vegas, at Cantor Gaming. Nowhere has that 55 moved. So it's readily available. I just, you know, and I'm sitting in the Atlanta airport today, and I'm flying through DFW, flying home, and I'm reading about Kiffin banging boosters' wives and Kiffin banging Saban's. I'm reading about all this shit.
She's hot, huh?
Kristen Saban's hot. But I'm reading all this shit, and it's like, the line is not moving. I mean, I can't get any read out of this total, but all I can tell you is that ULM is 13-2-1 on the under after a bye week. I think Bama's D is going to be pissed off, and they're going to play their part. I think Bama's O is a complete fucking mess and not going to play their part. I still have no problems playing this under 55.
That's a trend play, right? I mean, that's...
yeah. Take it for what it's worth, but Bama's also 3-11 against the spread, pulling a straight-up loss.
Right.
So they get a little flat. I want to ask both of you guys about a game that none of us have played. I have an opinion on a little bit, but now that mine's moved away. Maybe one of the biggest games of the weekend. TCU at Texas Tech. What are your guys' thoughts on the game?
So I want to throw...
I hit TCU twice.
Did you really? I want to throw a shout out. I'm gonna let Shay end it, because I'm gonna start it with, I'm standing at what'd you call Hayden, pocket bitch, pocket square bitch. Hayden and I are
pocket bitch.
I love Hayden death. That guy sat there with me in Lambeau and said Sherman plays the right side of the field in zone and does this and does that. I mean, the kid, he is boy wonder for a reason. Kid knows his stuff, but. He's standing there with me outside the stadium, and he goes, it opened up 11. I'm like, okay, fine, take it. He's like, no, hit it with me. I'm like, no, I'm not hitting Texas Tech plus 11. He goes, why not? I said, because they just beat Arkansas. They've been looking forward to beating Arkansas all fucking year. Yep. All they talked about in these high school camps, it's all Kingsbury's been so quiet and so sly about it that this was such a huge game to them. And he's like, well, hit it with me. And I'm like, listen, the only thing I got for you is that Texas is coming off of a hangover of a huge win, and TCU is overlooking to Texas next week, and all the Texas kids love to beat up on Texas, especially if they're a Texas Christian down in Cowtown, right?
Yeah.
So I told Hayden, I was like, I got no read. I'm like, my power ratings make it 10. It opened 11. I got no read. I don't want a part of it. Hayden is on plus 11. I'll let Shay take over. He's got TCU minus 6.5, I think.
I got TCU minus 7.5. I had McGinn at 6.5. The coach, that is, at Texas Tech. Here's the situation with Tech. They have circled that game against a fat man for fucking years. Cliff has been mad at Bellamy for a decade for stealing his recruits, for talking shit to all the high school coaches, for being a carpetbagger and moving him from the fucking north. Cliff has been furious about it. All the coaches at Texas have. It's one thing when Les Miles comes to Houston and steals a bunch of five-star recruits. It's another thing when a fat-ass coach from Wisconsin shows up in Fayetteville and starts stealing fucking recruits. Yep. Seriously, this is a big fucking deal.
Yep.
You got high school coaches getting invaded by a fat man from fucking Madison.
Yep.
All right? That's a big goddamn
deal. Hey, whoa, Shay, I want to interject. Kingsbury's dad is one of the top high school coaches in all of Texas.
Well aware.
It was personal.
Well aware. It was 100% personal. And we started talking shit about the Eric. Listen, these kids have been playing the spread offense since they were in sixth fucking grade, okay? Mm-hmm. And when Brett Bielema gets up there and says, you throw 70 times a game, we're going to kick your ass. You don't have a fucking run game, we're going
to
kick
you don't throw to the fullback, we're going to kick your ass.
Right. He says that in the fucking conference of Texas high school coaches who have been, they invented the spread. That's personal. Those boys in Lubbock were up for this game. This is a letdown spot. I don't give a fuck if it's against TCU. Texas Tech knows they ain't winning the Big 12. They fucking know it. Deep down in their stupid, dumb West Texas soul, they know they ain't winning the Big 12. Period. And with the suspensions and the arrests that TCU has had lately, Gary Patterson is rallying the fucking troops. They might put up fucking 70 on Cliff.
Cliff
ain't got no goddamn defense against an air raid. He ain't got no defense against Boykin. He might be able to load 9 in the box and make Archie throw, but he can't fucking spread the field with defenders because they're not on his fucking roster.
Well, they put up 84 last year, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I'm completely...
I was liking Tech above the 7.5, but now I can't play it under a touchdown.
Yeah,
I could lose both fucking units, but this is the first 2-unit bet I've made all year. I get the angle.
I mean, if Texas Tech, get the angle. More than concerned me is Texas Tech being at home, you know, but it should be one hell of a game. Carl, where are you at in this game?
You know, it's like I told Hayden, I have the same position that I had when I was in Green Bay a few days ago. You know, Texas Tech is coming off. You have nobody really, unless you're an Arkansas fan or you're a Tech fan or like you know the state of Texas personally, you have no clue how big of a game this was for Texas Tech. It was circled a year ago when Arkansas went down there. And this was personal to Kingsbury because of what his dad is in the state of Texas. So now that that's gone, these are 19, 20-year-old kids. They have to regroup and take on a TCU team that is every name has changed on the defensive side of the ball. But do you know what TCU's best defense is? Why don't you ask Iowa State last year when TCU was trying to get into the playoff? It's called scoring 60 fucking points on you, right? So TCU's best defense is putting 60 on you. I really don't think there's going to be an issue with TCU putting a 50 spot on here. So if you want me to take a stance on this game at -6.5, Hayden's got 11, you know, Shea's hanging around the 7.5, 6.5. You want me to take a stance? I'm going to take TCU team total over because I think their best defense is them going out and scoring some fucking points.
Now, if the number 10, like, that's a different conversation. But
right.
I got it a half a point over a touchdown and a half a point under. I was like, I got to hit this shit twice. There's no fucking way.
Okay, so,
let me give you guys what you guys are talking about. When you're talking overs, let me give you a fucking great trend right now. And it's a small sample size. But right now, any over that closes at 70 points or over, the closing line at 70 points or more are 13-2. In the year.
BGSU.
You're damn right, Shake.
So,
the game is qualifiers week. Baker Wright, Texas State, Houston, Bowling Green, Purdue, Texas Tech. And guess what other game closed at 70 plus?
Baylor something.
Cincinnati, Memphis. Cincinnati, Memphis. 14-2.
Of course.
Interesting
of course.
Trend to pay attention. Yeah. Interesting trend to pay attention to go forward. Yeah.
Okay, we'll
move away from Texas Tech. Here's a good one because I'm a Cal fan. I haven't made a bet. I know Shea has Cal minus 4. I know Steedup has taken Washington State plus 3.5 or plus 4. I'm going to let you guys duke it out about my Bears.
I'm going to let Shay go.
Tell me how they stop golf. Tell me how they stop golf. Just tell me.
Good question.
All right. So
I don't see the fucking players on the defensive fucking side of the ball.
Right.
That can stop not just golf, but the 17 receivers they got that can catch a run.
Yeah, I completely.
16. I think it's at least 16.
So if I'm doing a tally, I think there were 90 points scored in that Texas Cal game last week. There was a lot of points. There was a lot of up and down the field. Now we come home and then we go up to Washington. So we're on back-to-back travel for Cal. This number has kind of just been floating around. There's about 63% of the tickets that are coming in on Cal. So there's really nothing there. My whole thing is Washington is 5-1 against the spread in this series. So they got the leg up there. My power ratings make this Washington -7. Washington is heading into Washington is heading into a bye with an extra week to prepare for USC, while Cal is kind of coming off of a 90-point game and going up to Washington, where it's kind of a secret up there. I mean, they have a really good home field advantage up there. I mean, they really show up in their boat. They tailgate on their fucking boats up there. So, now, I mean, it has nothing to do with the point spread. All I'm saying is Cal ran up and down the field in the Central Time Zone. And now they're going up to play a team that's heading into a bye. I think Peterson puts it all out on the table. And I'm going to say this before I hand it over to Shea. Both Cal and Washington, in my opinion, have the toughest schedules in all of FBS after this game. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, we're talking 3-game road trips. We're talking 1 game in 5 weeks kind of shit. Like, I don't think Washington has a bye for 6 or 7 weeks. It's not in front of me, but both of them have extremely tough schedules after this, and I think Peterson realizes that, and I think there's no problem covering the spread.
Oof, no problem. I ain't even that confident.
I might send some Lone Star. I'll send some Lone Star up to Chicago. I'd even go -6. I go Washington -6 for a 6-pack of Lone Star.
No, I'll take that bet right fucking out all day. Make it a fucking gig. The 6 points.
Washington minus.
Currently -3. Currently -3 across the board. Yep. With 57% of the tickets coming in on Cal, we're at -3.
Okay, this might be fanboy Texas talking. Don't get me wrong. But after seeing what they can do on the offensive side of the ball and seeing the athletes they have that can catch and run, I just don't see the fucking talent on the defensive side of the ball of Washington, especially in the D-line. Because it doesn't fucking matter what you got on D-line. That's the only strength they got is better than their goddamn secondary. But there's no fucking way you're getting there with a goddamn quarterback when you take 3 seconds to throw. To me, this offense is the best traveling offense available. 3-second drop, boom. 7-yard pass, boom. 8-yard pass, boom. 12-yard pass. I just don't see how the fuck Peterson's going to get it done. And don't get me wrong, the trends make sense, and the sample size is pretty fucking small. Yeah. But I get the bye week coming. I get that more than anything. The two road trips, I get more than anything. But I think Goff is a fucking NFL quarterback, and he's got a whole lot of confidence after last week in Austin, especially after the way they fucking eked out that win. And I think a lot of people are chirping in his ear like, hey, kid, you're going to go in the first round. What you going to do now?
Yeah.
I think the kid's got balls, and he's got stones, and he's finished show.
I will say this, though. I mean, there's a very large ticket amount on Cal. And the spread has gotten as high as 5, 5.5, and it's all the way down to 3 today. So somebody with a whale wallet came in and whacked with Washington.
Washington's had their number in the past. I mean, he's been out of the last 8 times, but like I said this year, at the beginning of the year, Cohen Hayden's on board. This is a different Cal team.
Yeah.
This is an unbelievably explosive offense and a defense that has gone from awful to slightly below average.
Slightly below average versus explosive offense. Yeah. Washington ain't got an explosive offense.
And that's the issue with the freshman quarterback. So I get it. The back-to-back road travel change is the only reason I didn't play this. Because this is not an offensive-defensive line thing. This is a three-step, five-step job. There's no chance for a good quarterback. It's boom, 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 boom. And you've got almost 3 NFL receivers out there. This boom, boom. And I didn't play it because because of that, because I see where Collins goes and I see the line movement, the back-to-back road travel.
Yeah.
I just hope my boys come out with a win, but...
The line movement scares me for anything.
Yep. It's going to be a tough call. It'll be a tough call because Cal was actually looking much better last year than Washington State, or Washington even bitch slapped
their ass.
So why don't we do some quick out. Let's do some quick notes and then let Shay and I have a little beef on Fat Boy Ball going on over in Fayetteville. So
hold on, Collins.
Yeah.
Settle the bet. What bet for Washington Cal between you two?
Yeah, what's the bet, Colin? Come on, you said stiff.
So Lone Star is readily available here in the South, and you're having issues getting it at a decent price. I will give you Cal plus six. I'm sorry, Cal minus. I'll give you Cal. I'll give you. What is it at? You know, yeah, I will. I'll give you Cal. I ain't afraid. I don't care what Vegas.
All right, let's go.
I don't care what Vegas says this number is. I'll take Washington minus six, and you were gonna ship me. You were gonna ship me a 12 pack or a growler or a 12 pack. It's not gonna be Goose Island or Lagunitas. You're gonna send me something from Chicago, something that I can't get.
Okay,
oh my God!
About a Cal.
Oh fuck! You know I was tweeting.
I'll be in Milwaukee tomorrow.
You're kidding me. Okay.
I'll be in Milwaukee tomorrow.
All right. So here's the deal. You get anything you want.
You need to send me 48 fucking Lone Stars.
I'll send you 48 Lone Stars. I'll send you 48 Lone Stars for 18 spotted cows, and I'll take Washington minus six.
That's a bet.
It's on.
That's a bet. Cal plus six. I'll get a spotted cow tomorrow. No problem.
That's all I could talk about and think about was spotted cow. I even tweeted spotted cow the other day.
We're good. That is made.
All right.
I'm gonna talk one more game and we're going to the big one from YouTube.
Okay.
I got Vandy plus 28. It's now down to 24.5. It's still playable. Andy, I mean, this is a simple play. Ole Miss is off their biggest road win in school history. And now they have to come home for Vandy. And they've got, I believe, Florida on deck. I don't even know. I'm kind of getting drunk. But either way, it is an unbelievable spot for Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt has a fantastic defense. They are holding teams to 208 yards below the season average. There's no way that Ole Miss gets up for this game. Even though I saw it at 28, it's down to 24.5. No chance holding up this game. This is much closer than we would expect. Vanderbilt plus whatever number you can get tonight is a winner.
24 across the board with 66% of the money coming in on the Rebels. You better get Vandy now. It looks like it's going to drop to 21.
Yep. All right. Here we go now. We're going to get into I have Texas A&M minus 3 on the opener. Colin has Texas A&M minus 3 on the opener. And Shay has Arkansas plus 7 or plus 7.5 right now?
That's a big hook.
I'm going to let Colin go, then Shay, and I'll finish it up. Let's talk about one of the better games of the weekend.
Okay, so right. I want to talk as a rational person, not as somebody that's been drinking and graduated from Arkansas. So let me try.
Good luck.
All right, so Arkansas, I said 2 weeks ago that they will not cover UTEP. UTEP had a deep snapper give the ball up twice in the red zone. That's why we covered. I say we as in Arkansas. I was the only one I saw on Twitter that took Toledo plus 20.5. They said, 20.5, that's a bad number. I said, no, it's not. I got 21.5. I said, it doesn't matter. So, you know, that obviously was a winner. And then I got a couple touts to donate to the Arkansas Children's Hospital last week. With a Texas Tech money line bet. I also had a couple of public mentions with some big wigs on Twitter that have much bigger follower accounts than me that have donated to Arkansas Children's Hospital because I took Texas Tech money line last week. So I like to think I know my team a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, when I saw, I power rated the game as Texas A&M minus 9. And even I was a little shocked myself when I saw that because I thought it was short. When it came out as 3, I hit it for the biggest that I will allow myself because I'm into money management, which was somewhere a little shade under $400. So I am already invested into this game for Texas A&M minus 3. This is a neutral field that went to overtime last year with the exact same players.
Neutral is a funny word.
Neutral is a funny world because it's played in Jerry World, and most of the people that graduate from Arkansas with a business degree end up down in Dallas, and most of the people that are gig'em guys drive up to this game. So, you know, Arkansas, we can fill a Dallas stadium. We love to go to the Cotton Bowl because we can fill that easily. But, you know, so let me just say that, you know, I think home field, it doesn't mean shit in this. It's not in Fayetteville. They do have to get on the road. They do have to travel. But that's not what's important. What's important here is that our defensive coordinator cannot get control of the line of scrimmage, that they lost four key tacklers from last year, and they have yet to be able to control the line of scrimmage against anybody. They just made Texas Tech's quarterback, Mahomes, they made him look like a world beater. I think he's going to be drafted number one in the NFL draft because of what he did against Arkansas. They have no ability to control a defense, and I've watched Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen enough to know that if they want to score 56 or 60, they're going to be able to score 56 or 60. So on the other side of the ball, on the flip side, Arkansas is not allowed a sack yet this year. That's really impressive. But you sit there and you say, well, how the Sam Hill did they score 12 against Toledo when they haven't given up a sack? So let me tell you how that happens. First off, Toledo gave up a safety at the end of the game, so that makes 10 points. Brandon Allen came to the line with about a 70-30 run-to-pass ratio, and he checked out of 16 running plays. He did not like the way the defense was set up against Toledo, and he checked out of 16 plays into pass plays. He is in the bottom five of red zone quarterbacks in all of FBS. He cannot convert.
Well, you can't put that on Dan Enos, man. If he's checking out a run, you can't put that on Dan Enos.
But that's the whole thing is they've given Brandon Allen the ability to check out of the plays that they're sending in, and
so
now
maybe that's the issue.
And that's the big issue. They've given up zero sacks, yet they can't score any points because Brandon Allen's the worst in red zone. So let's break it down. Texas A&M has a new defensive coordinator. His name is John Chavis. And if you don't know who he is, he was the first person to give Bielema his first SEC win last year as LSU's defensive coordinator. I think Texas A&M has – they have one of the best defensive players in Miles Garrett in all of college football.
Oh, here we go.
I think Chavis is going to – I think he's going to pin every single player's ears back. They're going to kill Brandon Allen, and I would be and everybody wants to say, well, what about the running game? What about this offensive line? Alex Collins, pay attention, people. Jonathan Williams was the workhorse. Jonathan Williams was the guy that was going to get it every carry, while Alex Collins came in and found the wrinkle and busted it for 80. He is not the workhorse running back. So
okay.
Arkansas.
Wait
is,
a second.
So I will say this. Arkansas is not going to be able to keep up with Texas A&M. Last year, with a full-strength team, went to overtime, lost by 7. This year, I understand that 85% of the tickets right now are sitting on Texas A&M and that line has stalled at 7 and 7.5. I think it's a joke. I think that it's a joke that this line has stalled at 7 and 7.5. I wouldn't be surprised to see it pop to 9 and 10 on game day. And if Arkansas finishes within 7, if anybody wants to send more charity bets my way, I will donate to every charity in the world. Send it my way, because if they win, if they keep within 7 points, I will be as shocked as anybody.
All right, Colin, I'm going to give 2 stats before I turn it over to Shay, because I know you guys want this game. You talked about Miles Garrett getting his ears back. Texas A&M is number one in the nation in sacks. But Arkansas has not allowed a sack all year. You also mentioned Alex Collins and his big playability. What's interesting about Alex Collins, he's played 16 SEC games. He has 2 100-yard games, both against Texas A&M. Very interesting there. I love the number we laid at minus three, but don't be surprised if I come back and play at least half my bet back on 7.5 or as high as it gets, because I absolutely see the Arkansas angle, especially at home. Shay, bring it now. Let's finish it.
First things first, they're in fucking Jerry's world. Jerry's a pig stewie to the day he fucking dies.
1964 national champion.
Amen to that, him and Jimmy.
Yep.
He'll do whatever the fuck he can to make this game go pig's way. Period. End of story. Turns the lights out, whatever you got to do. here's the issue with Miles Garrett's punk ass and the fucking number one
3, but actually, I'd probably buy some back at 7.5. I think the game would be close to what people think.
I mean, you really think Arkansas is going to lose 3 in a fucking row, C-Dub?
They're going to Tennessee, and then they're going to Alabama after this, so.
No, we're talking, right. I mean, we're talking out of SEC. SEC, sure, but we're talking out of conference. 2 in a row, and then the first, I don't fucking see that.
Man. Listen, this, okay, so I would everybody on the podcast, if everybody remembers, Shea was just talking about how Charlie Strong cannot change mid-game. Brett Bielema does not change the game plan mid-game. The coaches that do, like Nick Saban, they can go in, they can take their little plastic playbooks that they use on the field and throw them in the trash and torch them like Nick Saban can, Urban Meyer can. Brett Bielema doesn't do that. I got one game plan. If it doesn't, it's the same thing with Petrino. I'm going to go in facing Saban with this game plan, and if it doesn't work, then I'm losing by 35 points. Bielema cannot change on the fly.
He's going to run the fucking ball from the jump?
So I had no clue that Texas A&M was going to be able to be run all over, because I don't think they can. Who is our backup running back? His name is Cody Walker. They moved him to fullback, and if you look, he has a broken hand. I don't know. And by the way, Keon Hatcher is Arkansas's best wide receiver. He's done for the year. Our second, Jared Cornelius, he's done for the year. We literally have a guy that was on the intramural field where I used to take a dump and bang bitches and drink beer. He is now the second string wide receiver for Arkansas.
All right. We're moving us along. I tell you what, though.
I don't feel good anymore.
We've all been down this road. When everybody likes one team, and Carl Reed had a good number, but now it's 7.5. When everybody likes one team and that team's at home, it's very dangerous. I will bet a lot of money Scott Mantell has them on their winners. You know, he likes to take the dog that no one likes. Be careful. I think over 7 points, Arkansas is now a very dangerous team. I'm going to probably buy back some. I get both of you guys. We're going to move along, though. Here we are. We all three have the same side. Missouri.
Yeah.
+3 on the road against Kentucky. Shay, let's go.
Fuck KU. Fuck KU to the cows come home. They ain't that goddamn good.
Yeah, don't say KU. Everybody say UK. Say UK. They get mad. They think you're talking about Kansas. Say UK.
They wish I was talking about Kansas. They got less fucking NCAA violations. Okay, what? Here's the deal. They were the darling of the fucking SEC. They were the darling of the, you know, preseason, everybody was like, oh man, hey, y'all watch out for Kentucky, man. They got to move the fucking ball. All fucking day. Here's the deal. Mizzou played like shit last week. There's value in the number because of that.
Yes.
I'm fucking taking it. End of story. They got a better offense and more fucking talent, period.
Yes. And I'll add on to that. Shay is completely correct. I'll just give you small details. Mizzou's running back, Russell Hansburgh, this is probable. He is going to play. Kentucky is starting a true freshman at right tackle. Pinkel is going to pin their ears back, come after them. This line is bullshit. Missouri is winning this game, and Kentucky is off a hangover from Florida. They take Florida seriously. Now Missouri's coming in and pin. They're going to go after them. Period. Take Mizzou.
It's some dirty parlay shit right here.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally agree. Colin, you hit the nail on the head. Hansbrough coming back and rejuvenate that offense. Hopefully give the time that Mock needs, because Mock's been absolutely god-awful. I think having that balance in the offense would be huge. We're all on the same page here. Here we go. We got 3 big games in the night. I'm not going to ask for much of an analysis. Who covers? Who fucking covers here? Shay, you're first. Mississippi State, Auburn. Who covers?
Oh, that's at Auburn. What's the line?
-2
Auburn.
-2. Auburn.
Auburn. Ain't even close. Sean White.
I bet Auburn. We're on Auburn, too. Consensus on Auburn. All right. UCLA traveling to Arizona. I think the line's about 4. Arizona's a home dog. Colin, who covers?
Zona. Scooby's playing.
Jay.
Fuck that. Give me the Rosen one. Happy Hanukkah.
I am so fucking poor. I love myself a good home dog, but I'm going with UCLA here too as well. I think UCLA was the chosen one. Rosen. All right. And the last game tonight, if you're not counting Fresno State, San Jose State, Utah travels to Oregon. Vernon Adams will play. Utah getting 11.5 at Oregon. Shea, who covered?
Ducks.
Yeah. Ducks. Yeah, I'm gonna go Ducks.
I'll go the opposite. I think Utah hangs around, not stolen this Oregon offense or this Oregon defense, to be honest. I think that Devontae Booker hangs around there. All right. We've gotten through a shit ton of games, and I think we've given everyone a lot to talk about. Collins, we want to talk a little bit of NFL with Shea.
Yeah, if Shea's going to be a guest on our podcast, then we want to go ahead and release the fact that CCH picks – we did really well in the Super Contest last year, and we're off to a 60% start this year. We're taking the Cowboys plus two. We're taking the Cowboys plus two with Brandon Whedon from Oklahoma State, who you don't like. He's redheaded, and he plays for a coach who's redheaded. Would you like to end this podcast? Would you like to end this podcast and tell us why the Falcons are going to cover two?
How about them Cowboys?
How about him, Ronnie?
Does that head coach, the redheaded fella, does he dye his hair?
The ginger was born that way.
Oh, the ginger was.
Put a spark on
but him. I think he dyes his eyebrows. I think he does.
He dyes his eyebrows and waxes his back. Wouldn't be a surprise to me. Mm.
I know a few things about hair dye, so that's why
I know a few things about gingers. I was raised by one. The torment never leaves.
Yeah.
Wrong with y'all? I don't even like to say that R word. What's wrong with y'all? What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Y'all got two gingers on the same fucking team? You're gonna let
double ginger?
You got the other ginger letting one ginger check out a play that one ginger has called. Y'all are fucking stupid. Now let me ask you a question. Who the fuck is he gonna throw it to? Terrence Williams? That's who he's gonna throw it to? That's his number fucking one?
They got Darren McFadden.
Fucking ankle?
They got Darren McFadden.
No. The best fucking player they got on that team Lance fucking Dunbar. That's also the best receiver they got on that team. What you think about that? That's the second fucking third string running back. That got me fucked up. Plus two. Plus fucking two. That's not in Atlanta, is it?
It's down there in Jarrah World.
Of course it is. 2-point dog. If it was in Atlanta, it'd be a fucking 7-point spread. Oh, you really think this is gonna fuck a winnable game for the Cowboys? You think you're gonna lose by one?
Hey, we do this for a living.
Do you think they're gonna win the game?
I think the Cowboys are going to cover too. I can tell you that.
Because you got their defense that much higher. That's what you're telling me.
I love that offensive line.
Okay, so you think, timeout. Okay, everybody fucking stop. Do you think the Cowboys are going to actually commit to the run because the ginger's behind the fucking center? Is that what you think?
Do you actually think the ginger was ever calling plays in all his years there?
Oh, he was until he pretended to hand off the duties to Bill Callahan. Oh, he sure is.
All right, so let me put a call.
And then he hired a couple of OCs.
Let me put a call and spin on it while we're on live podcasting. Atlanta is getting 80% of the tickets. The line has fallen from minus two today down to a pick. Atlanta and the Cowboys are now a pick, with Atlanta getting 80% of the money.
Yeah, they're pick 'em right now.
It's a pick.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Five dimes bet online. Sporting a pick.
Absolutely.
I'm on the Cowboys for a reason.
Yeah. Don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with me, y'all. If the Cowboys win five out of their next eight and Romo comes back, that's playoff time, baby.
Yeah, but we gotta get that screw in Dez's foot.
And you'll be sipping a lot of nice beer after cow covers too. You'll be sipping a lot of nice beer from cow.
Yes.
Spotted cow coming south.
I'm fucking buying it tomorrow. Calm down.
All right, guys.
You think the Cowboys can win?
We have to wrap this shit up. Here's the deal, Shay. I'm going to put you on the spot. What is your best and favorite bet of the weekend? We've talked about UVA, Michigan, Bowling Green, New Mexico, Arkansas, Tennessee. What do you think? You bet Ohio, you bet Cal, you bet Purdue. You like TCU. What is your favorite bet of the weekend?
I think, you know what, it's 50-50. Man, it's UNM or TCU, and I really fucking like the Lobos, man. I think my best bet's going to have to be the Lobos. I'm going to hit the Lobos again right now.
Jay's going to Lobos. We're wrapping up now. We'll be back tomorrow with a quick 10-minute podcast for our best. show and is handing out winners left and right.
Hey, fuck that lady, dude.
Colin, you didn't even get to put a meet tweet in, but we love you, TSA. I hope you got multiple meet here. Shay, thanks for being on. Colin, good time. Cheers, guys. Good luck this weekend.
Meet.
Hey, man.